Go.
G'day and welcome to the inaugural episode of the OGR podcast. I am Liam Oliver, i.e. Captain Perth, Capo, etc. And this is my wonderful, illustrious co-host, Mr. Grizzly Gaming 86, Tim Weegs. How you going, mate? Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. Good evening, everyone. I hope you're all going well and you've had a nice little holiday thus far. How are you today, Cap?
I'm absolutely excellent. It took me a few days to recover from the onslaught. It was Christmas.
I'm in the age of the old three-day hangover territory these days, Cap.
Oh, so. Absolutely. I pretty much yesterday it was kind of like one of those days where you go, I literally can't talk to anyone because I'm super socialed out. I can't do any more. Don't talk to me. My wife was incredibly displeased with that. I needed the whole day just to recover, but it was good. I mean, we had a ripper Christmas day. What did we do? We kind of just floated around home.
Yeah, what did you get up to, mate? How did you manage the heat, firstly, mate? How did you manage the heat?
We're pretty lucky. So we live in Perth, and Perth, Western Australia, and it was, I think it hit 41, 42 degrees Celsius. Okay. I don't know what that is in Fahrenheit, but that's hot. Hombres, it is friggin' hot.
What do you add? 100 and... No, I can't remember this.
It's probably 108 or 109 Fahrenheit or something like that. So, I mean, we had aircon, thank God. Not so lucky here at, in my, what do you call it?
Abode.
At my actual home. We went to my parent-in-laws. So they had pretty good stuff.
We fought the heat this year. We bought a pool, Cap, just for the occasion, mate, because it's nice. Ridiculous. I think it's starting to work its way down to the mid-30s by Thursday, I hear. But
are we talking
crazy
above ground, or did you start the shovel out over the weekend?
Above ground. It's crazy, though, man. You can pay a decent amount for, like, a decent pool these days. Like, standing in it, maybe up to my chest. So not too bad, mate, not too bad.
That's all right. Does Kev get in there?
Nah, Kev's a little bit, like, water shy still.
Oh, really?
He doesn't mind it, but, like, in a pool, he's instantly deep. So he couldn't paddle. Whereas at the beach, he'll like go to his legs and, you know, kind of waddle around.
Pools are just required, essentially, I think. Also, we did pool time as well. But I think the big thing was I made daiquiris, frozen strawberry daiquiris, and
delicious, mate.
Using mint out of the garden.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Very good. Amazing. I was on the old fashions, mate. I had very nice bourbon. Yep. Me and Curdy
very nice.
Banging the old fashions. So it was quite good.
Oh, that would have been gorgeous. Well, enough about our Christmas shenanigans.
What are we doing?
Well, firstly, welcome to all the listeners and whatnot across the podcast and Twitchosphere. This is OGR, or Oceanic Gaming Radio, and this is something we've been working on alongside our wonderful producer, Pav, who's in the flanks right now. We've been working on this for probably a few months now, maybe longer. I mean, it's been in planning mode for a while, probably 6 months.
I think we managed to decide it was going to go ahead on my birthday, Cap, when we were full of beer. I'm pretty sure it was more like a let's do it, let's push for it in the new year.
What month is you?
25th of September. So okay. Where are we? Few months, but yeah, that was the button. It was talked
but
about.
We've been
before
speaking
that.
About it for probably since July, I reckon.
Yep.
So, yeah, it's been a while. I think for me, not doing so much Twitch content creation / any. So this is kind of what I've been looking forward to moving. I've definitely missed doing content creation, and I wanted to find a different way of doing things that wasn't just so strenuous, I guess, for lack of a better word. But
the upkeep on Twitch streaming is nuts. Like the
absolutely. I just don't have the time for that.
That's it.
So, you know, being able to bang out an episode once every week or two, depending on our schedules, that'll be another thing. So, I mean, if you are interested in listening to these consistently, that's probably how often you can expect it. If we can get one per week, that, I mean, we'll try our best, but you can probably expect them fortnightly. I think ideally we'll probably try to aim for higher upkeep, but you know, we'll see how life happens. You know, you've got three blokes in here trying to find time. You know, it's kind of like when you do D&D stuff, or like you try to do, you know, like, oh, we should catch up for a beer, and then it just comes. You know,
in terms of what we're hoping to provide you guys, I see it as being a kind of honest, down to earth Aussie take on gaming news, reviews, and everything in between. Bit of banter. A bit of a chat, maybe a beer or two, and I guess I would consider Cap and I being relatively well versed in gaming. It's a passion of both of ours. Something, I mean, I've got a room dedicated to gaming, and my wife lets me have this.
So do I.
Yeah,
my wife doesn't even have a room. Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, I have a room for my gaming, and Mia doesn't have anything.
I've got kids, and it's like we'll squeeze two of them into one room so that I can have my gaming.
That's what kids are for, right? They just fit them anyway. There you go.
Exactly right.
Yeah, I mean, exactly right. So, I mean, that's pretty much, I mean, as for structure and whatnot as well, I think ultimately, I think for Ogre, you can probably expect a kind of fairly free-form discussion on anything that kind of strikes up a convo between myself and Grizzo. And I think probably, you know, maybe just reviews of things that we've been jumping in on over the week or 2 weeks or fortnight, whatever it is. But, yeah, so that's pretty much what you can expect from this show. Just to, again, to highlight it, we've got our wonderful producer Pav here as well. You know, the three amigos, we're all in this together.
In terms of where you can find us, you should be able to find us on most podcasting services. You can find us live on Twitch.tv/Oceanic Gaming Radio, I believe. Please, Pav, confirm that that's correct.
I believe that is correct.
Something around that.
Oceanic Gaming Radio. I'll have a list in everywhere you find our stuff by the end of the week.
There you go.
Yeah.
In terms of keeping this moving forward, state of gaming in 2021 was a pretty challenging year, not only for gaming in general, Cap, but I think for all of us. A bit of a shit year for me at the start, kind of turned its way around in the end, but I feel like the gaming industry was hit quite hard with the grunt of the pandemic.
I think it's definitely like a worldwide thing, right? You know, one thing that I've definitely, like, I was kind of thinking about building a new PC this year, and that was obviously shot in the ass with just, you know, there not being any GPUs to buy and just Bitcoin miners, you know, stealing everything. I hate NFTs and Bitcoin and e-coins, by the way. I just think they are the fucking blight on humanity because I can't build my computer because of it. But,
I did a little bit of research in the shortage of chips today. Not potato chips, but they were talking about the shortage is actually the silicon that goes into the chip.
Yeah.
And because they also use that to make the thing that stops the virus, Cap. What's it called?
Vaccines.
Vaccines. They use silicon to make the COVID vaccines, which is why there is a shortage, because they're all being used for that. And they've driven the prices up, and the cascade effect down to PS5s being available and everything else. I mean, good luck getting a PS5 in 2021, 2022, right, Cap? We got pretty lucky.
Absolutely. I think demand in Oz, I mean, obviously there was a fairly high demand in Oz for these consoles, but I think that was spread a bit more across the country than other countries, because I hear that, you know, it's basically impossible elsewhere, especially places like the US and whatnot. But it's kind of
from people that I've had a chat to in the US, even the ability to go into a shop and pre-order one wasn't there.
It's just
crazy shortage.
Yeah, which, and obviously that comes back to the silicon shortage, because ultimately, you know, that's going to be all kinds of different bits and pieces, not just gaming consoles, but like you said, like GPUs, other hardware and stuff, which is interesting. I mean, it would be interesting to know, like, what kind of industries have also been affected. I'd assume it's fairly...
Some bloke's just got like a small little thing. He relies heavily on silicon. It's just business out the window, mate. Go on.
Yeah. Mate, just go out the back and melt some sand down. You'd be right.
Sure. You know how we're going from oil and gas into clean energy? Surely there's something they can make CPUs and GPUs out of, like Cornbread? I don't know. Pick something.
Cornbread. Well, I think chemically, I don't know. I think silicon's kind of unique.
I wonder if implants have gone up largely. Oh. Maybe it might be a different type of silicon. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Yeah, well, I wonder if they're... I don't think silicon's poisonous, is it? Don't think so.
Yeah,
because I'm just thinking, like, if those things explode in your body, right? Mm. How bad is that?
I think it's quite bad. I think it's quite bad, yeah. From my understanding.
I suppose just in general. Mm. In general, it will probably be bad to have, like, because I assume it's fluid inside.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It would not be ideal. I have heard of stories of people being saved by their breast implants, though, like other bits and pieces. But anyway.
Oh, it's kind of like in the movies when you have, like, you know, the sheriff is like gets shot in the chest and it like hits his badge or something. It's just like your boob implant. they could even work as like, what do you call them? Airbags.
Airbags, yeah. The other thing that I also heard about, Cap, was obviously in 2021, 2020, there was a huge focus on working from home, you know, so we're in isolation and lockdown, yeah. Big companies pushing their employees to be able to work from home. I heard that Nintendo, in terms of the developer packs that they have, their workstations were hugely optimized and specialized. They couldn't actually give them their full functionality and ability for those developers to go and work
from
home.
That wouldn't surprise me, because, I mean, that would have to be worldwide as well. It would have to be, right? Like, I'm thinking about, like, a lot of people that I know that purely worked in offices over COVID and then having that, you know, having to go and work from home, obviously, because lockdowns and whatnot. And then a lot of these guys get a work from home pack, which includes this, that, and everything else. And some companies are buying fresh stuff.
Mm.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
We saw it live in 2021, because I don't know if you noticed, but nearly every AAA game from a major studio was delayed this year. So,
yeah, well,
I've got a list here. Like, so we've got Gotham Knights, the new Harry Potter game, God of War Ragnarok was supposed to come out this year, Far Cry 6, Gran Turismo, Rainbow Six Extraction. Yeah. So all of these were delayed and pushed into 2022. Back for Blood was delayed. It is out now, but it was delayed.
Yeah.
So there's just, it was a, I don't know whether it was a work from home thing, but I feel like.
I think it's just a general disruption, even if it wasn't just the work from home thing, right? I mean, think about, you know, days lost and all that kind of stuff. Like when you think about work and, yeah. Also, sorry if you can hear my cat, he's going bonkers.
Did hear that?
But I'm not too sure. It'll be interesting to see how long it lasts, I guess. I mean, hopefully as we become more and more vaccinated.
The chip shortages are going to be into 2022 from
what I saw that, which kind of sucks, because I was kind of holding out for 2022 being like, that's going to be when I get my PC. I'm going to buy that bad boy. I'm going to get a little GPU. I'm going to go and buy a CPU. I'm going to plug them into a new motherboard. But I don't know.
I tell you what is pretty good, though, the fact that you got a PS5. I feel like that can do a fair bit of the grunt work for those releases next year. I'm the same.
Yeah, I'm thinking a lot of my gaming into the new year is probably going to be on PS5. Yeah. A lot of them, like, bigger titles, like I've got Elden Ring pre-ordered for PS5.
Yeah.
So
very excited about that, mate.
But yeah, talking about games that were delayed, I did see that Nintendo said they believe that Breath of the Wild 2 is on track for release this year coming.
I still haven't played the DLC to number one yet, but
neither. But I don't know how important that's going to be. I mean, I finished the first base game.
Hmm.
I don't know, like, because I mean, I don't even really know what it adds. I think it adds like some scenarios that are in the past or something.
Pretty
like
sure
that.
You can get an unbreakable Master Sword in it, from what I hear.
Oh, and you can also get the Majora's Mask that, it like, I don't know, like, kind of makes all the enemies nice to you, not aggro. I don't know how to word that properly.
Oh, really? So you can just run around. I'd say one thing that is crazy about Breath of the Wild, and big props to being on a Switch, was the physics engine that sat behind that game is insane.
Absolutely.
I don't know if you've watched, like, I got TikTok, right? I've got, basically, it's like gamer TikTok. And I'm all the time seeing these crazy clips of Breath of the Wild, and a guy's like throwing a bomb down and riding down a hill on his shield and then doing time dilate on a bit of brick and then shooting himself three quarters way across the map.
Yeah. It's incredible what they can do and how they leverage that stuff for speedruns as well. Like, I mean, I would love to know. It must be like 10 or 15 minutes, the speedrun times for Breath of the Wild, with just how quickly they can get to.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you can cheese into Ganon from the opening island. I'm pretty sure you can somehow like fly your way across the map to get
in
there.
It's actually fully bonkers. But Grizz, I was thinking with this first episode being kind of like almost like a retrospective for the year, I was thinking perhaps we could do a redraw of the recent Game Awards and maybe a few bits and pieces about what we think about I don't know, just some of the categories in general and what has been selected, because, I don't know, for me, I kind of feel like it's a little bit of a cop-out with some of the entries for some of the categories.
I'm always a little bit, I think my, well, for me, as a gamer in general, I tend to get drawn more to games that other people don't like. Because well, it's kind of weird now, but I enjoy pain. I enjoy really difficult games. So I find it hard to enjoy those cookie cutter AAA
absolutely. Video games. I think I tie a lot of my enjoyment from games from kind of overcoming hardship in video games. And so, I also, at that same token, if I think a game is blatantly unfair, I don't really enjoy it, if that makes sense. So it's got to be a pretty good bridge between difficulty and
fairness. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, and fairness and me feeling like it's not completely, I don't know, like useless me trying kind of thing. But
so what are we looking at? We're looking at the Game Awards 2021.
So look, what we'll leave the Game of the Year for the end. So we'll just run through a few of these categories. But let's so best game direction.
Award for
outstanding creative vision and innovation in game direction and design. So the contestants were Deathloop, It Takes Two, Returnal, Psychonauts 2, Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart. And the winner they chose was Deathloop. So
how many of these games have you personally played?
Two of the five. Yes. But, I mean, I think I can still comment on the design, I think.
Yeah, well, you probably went and looked at the other ones and went, these aren't ready for me, which is in this particular category, that's exactly what I did. I'm the same as you. So I have played Returnal and obviously It Takes Two because we played that together.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I can see, I've watched a lot of gameplay footage of Deathloop and I can see how game direction, so innovation, that game is like, it is nuts. The way that you die and you come back and you develop the story through the same levels and you kind of expand your game through knowledge, and it's just a very well designed.
It kind of hits that rogue light kind of theme and leverages it in a bit more of a AAA capacity, I would say. Obviously similar to Returnal. But I think overall I'm not too bothered by it being the winner in this. I think maybe this or maybe Psychonauts 2, just because Psychonauts is pretty interesting in my opinion. I really love Psychonauts 1, so I don't know. I think I think like especially the art direction, which obviously isn't really what this award's for. But I think Deathloop probably deserved to maybe take that out of those ones.
Shout outs to Returnal in this particular bunch.
Absolutely.
It's the first basic roguelite that has been developed by a AAA studio. And to being a PS5 exclusive, whether or not that was well received is another thing. I actually received some pretty poor reviews across the board. But
Which it comes into that journalist thing where, and what we find enjoyable and what others find enjoyable. You know, some people don't like smacking their heads against the same thing over and over again to find the result. Whereas,
I love that, mate. Kazuo Mario is literally smacking
my head. I mean, it depends on how it's delivered to me and whether I deem it to be fair or within my wheelhouse or not. But ultimately, I think Returnal was pretty rad. I think the reason it maybe didn't get winner in this is maybe just because it's a little bit more, I don't know, it's the Amnesiac sci-fi thing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, how you know, it's not super, you know, new and groundbreaking and innovative.
It almost felt like I was in the Alien universe in Returnal. That's what it really made me feel like. So, you know, it's kind of has been done before, but I really do feel like Deathloop was definitely a really individual, special IP on that. You haven't really seen that before. Kind of maybe like a little bit Borderlands-y kind of graphics feel, but I think in terms of the gameplay, innovation is probably why it's come through as the winner on that one.
I've been actually meaning to pick up Ratchet and Clank because I've actually heard some pretty good, you know, just as a fairly casual, you know, just shoot some shit and you know, it being quite apparently visually pleasing graphics-wise. I don't know. Maybe I'll pick that up at some point. But
so that was Kamikaze Cracker has been trying to convince me to play that game since it came out. That's apparently his favorite series. Some people love it. It's a very popular series across the board.
Absolutely.
But I feel like it was never the poster boy of what is it? Is it a PlayStation exclusive? Ratchet and Clank? Isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Is it by Naughty Dog? Who did Jack and Dexter? Jack and Dexter?
Same mob, is it?
I mean, it kind of looks similar to me. I don't know whether it definitely is. Like Jack and Dexter, I think, might be Naughty Dog. Yeah, they are Naughty Dog. And then we've got Ratchet and Clank. Let's see who made
Ratchet
that bad boy.
Clank.
Oh, no, they're Insomniac. Okay. So
there you go.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, they do a lot of stuff like they did some of the Spider-Man games and Sunset Overdrive, obviously all the Ratchet and Clank games. But, yeah. Oh, they also did – you ever play Resistance on PlayStation? That was
never
a pretty cool game.
Never played it, mate. Never played it.
It was kind of like – so it was set in, like, World War II or One or something and basically Aliens as well.
Ooh,
and
that sounds
great.
It was
really good. I think it kind of didn't really – I think the final – iteration didn't quite go as far as they were hoping, so it hasn't really gotten a reboot or anything, but good games. But hey, let's move on to another category. So
ooh,
obviously
mate.
That was
yep.
best. Oh, actually, we haven't even chosen one. We need to choose one.
Oh, do we? So we choose there? We choose one. Well,
yeah,
mate.
So we're going to redraw it. We're going to redraw this bad boy. So Deathloop,
right.
It Takes Two, Returnal, Psychonauts 2, so, Ratchet and Clank.
So in terms of the criteria awarded for outstanding creative vision and innovation in game direction and design.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me have a look here. Well, Cap Perth.
I mean, for me, I actually think Deathloop deserves it personally.
Yeah,
I think it does a really good job of being innovative in terms of delivery of mechanics, gameplay wise, and narrative wise. But I think in terms visually, like especially art direction, I think it's quite unique. It's kind of got. I don't really know how to describe that kind of era, but it's kind of like late 70s, early 80s kind of thing
Loved
going
it.
On, and it just looks cool. It just looks really cool, and I don't really know any games that do that. So I don't know. I think that's innovative in itself.
There you go. All right, so we're in agreement there. I think Deathloop is a good choice for that category.
Yeah. So moving along to best narrative. So outstanding storytelling and narrative development in a game. Deathloop, It Takes Two, Life is Strange, True Colors, Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy, which was the winner in this category, by the way, and Psychonauts 2. Now, again, I've played one of these, but I hear that Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy is incredibly good. And what I've seen of it, I really like the way that the characters interact with one another. It doesn't seem cringy. Like the conversations that they have with one another makes the world kind of feel lived in, and it kind of really matches the movies really well, I think. I actually think in terms of what I've seen of the other games, I think that would probably be my winner as well. I think it's a pretty good pick. But
In 2020, there was a game that made me cry, Cap, or get very emotional. There was nothing in 2021 that made me feel the same way. That particular game was Ori number 2. Just the soundtrack and everything about that and the storytelling on those games is fantastic. But in terms of what I played in 2021, the game that really caught me with the story and the way that it was told, I think is probably Returnal, which isn't even mentioned in there. But there's a lot to unlock, and maybe people didn't get through the game to find out what happened, and I'm not going to spoil it for you, but I thought that was a very good narrative as well.
Yeah,
actually,
I think
It Takes Two is worth talking about as well, because that's pretty good.
I think It Takes Two did a pretty good job. Some of it I found a little bit cringy, but I think overall it did a really good job. I think, what do you reckon, Grizz? I'm going to put my pick under Guardians of the Galaxy because what I saw on Twitch and stuff, I actually quite liked. I thought it was quite good, yeah.
I can't because I have literally not haven't watched any. I don't know anything about it. So I'm going to put mine on Returnal for that one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nothing made me cry, though. So maybe next year, maybe so. Oh, well, hey, when did The Last of Us 2 come out? Was that 2020?
Was that this year?
Was that this year?
The Last of Us. Oh, maybe it was last year.
I think it might have been last year. I haven't seen any of these awards yet.
No, it was last year. Hmm. Last year. It's kind of crazy how much
2020
this
was a cracker, wasn't it?
Oh, it was big time. But like COVID time is kind of blended. Like,
oh,
like
man,
the
it's
end
same,
of 2019, 2020 of this year into one for me. Like I kind of feel like, oh, yeah, that came out this year. It's like, oh, no, it didn't. It came out last year. And you're like, oh, okay.
Yep. Some of my favorite games this year were games from last year. Yep, 100%.
All right, moving on. Best art direction.
Ooh, la la.
Pretty self-explanatory. Deathloop. I don't know how you pronounce this. Kena or Kenna. Bridge of Spirits, which is a cool little indie game I've been meaning to try out.
Me too.
My mate Tal, old Sleepy Scene, he mentioned that it's worth a crack. I'll definitely have to give it a bit of a squiz. Then obviously Psychonauts 2, Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart, and The Artful Escape, which I actually have no idea what that is.
Okay. So shout out to Nick Tackler, Twitch TV, but I actually watched some of Nick's content on Psychonauts 2. I'm pretty sure he may have got early access to it. And I thought, it's the same as that series, right? That the art in that series, if you look at it, you're kind of like, what am I looking at here? It's just a bit weird and wacky, a bit zany. But I enjoyed Nick's playthrough of Psychonauts 2. I thought artistically, it may be quite simple, but it has its own style and it sticks to that. It's quite good.
Yeah, Psychonauts is that zaniness but simplicity, like you were mentioning, but just the way it kind of because it's kind of all supposed to be like, you know, psychological weird shit going on, and you know, so that blending of these minds and how those minds, you know, how they create these environments and whatnot. So I think in terms of level design and stuff like that, I think it's pretty damn freaking cool. I think I'd probably lean between this and Deathloop, which Deathloop took it out, by the way.
Yeah.
Looked at the Artful Escape. It kind of looks looks like you're a guy with a guitar and you go into some like purple, orange, red bloom world where you do some psychedelic, crazy music stuff, I think. So it looks cool.
Is it on PC, Cap, or what is it on, mate?
Let me tell you right now. It is on PC. Yep, PC, Macintosh, Xbox One. All the stuff.
Well, there you go, folks. If you want to try something that got on the top 5 for best art direction, maybe The Artful Escape might be worth checking out.
Well, it only needs a Intel i3, so get stuck in.
Your PC can run that, Kappa. Yep, easy, man.
But yeah, I don't know. I think my pick, I'd probably lean towards out of the finalists. I think Psychonauts 2 would probably take it for me.
Either that or Returnal. Really cool. I really enjoyed the creepiness of Returnal. And the enemy
wasn't a thing on this one, by the way, Grizzo.
Well, so
this is for the Game Awards.
As a question, though, is that because Returnal didn't get nominated because it wasn't good enough at this category? Can we...
Well, I don't know. See, this is the thing, right? This is the Game Awards. And I think... I think they kind of try and share it out a little bit, but it's also kind of like market pick. And, you know, I think they massage games into categories that maybe don't really belong there as much as other games, because it's, you know, just media and all that other shit. I'm a little bit, I don't know, cynical about just how, like, true to the art a lot of these finalists are. I don't know. I think there's a lot of games missing from a lot of these things as well.
I'd imagine indie games would usually not feature here. With things like, I mean, we didn't get this in 2020, but like, would you imagine Silk Song, say 2022, would feature in an award like this, or are the
games? Silk Song isn't out yet, obviously, but I think, like, absolutely. Though you might argue that. Because I suppose if you say best art direction, right, you might not comment on how innovative the art is. Maybe, like, it's just kind of like the feat of recreating something in that style. So, because I was kind of thinking, oh, well, you know, Hollow Knight's been done before. Can you really?
Yeah, true. Mario Maker 2 is not on there. What the hell? Yeah, I guess. Well, yeah. You know what? No Nintendo games here at all that I have seen yet.
I'm trying to think. Oh, well, Metroid Dread came out this year.
Yeah, actually, Metroid Dread. Metroid Dread was on the list for something that I just said.
Yeah, it's in there for some bits and pieces. I don't know whether I'd say it's best art direction. I don't think it wows me. I mean, it's just like a sci-fi kind of side-scroller thing.
Well, all those games, apart from Psychonauts, I guess Ratchet & Clank as well. And new IPs, right? So Artful Escape, Kena and Deathloop. Not been done before, something unique.
Yeah. I don't know. For me, I think probably Art Direction, Psychonauts.
Yeah.
I think out of those, so Deathloop, Kena, Psychonauts 2, Ratchet & Clank, The Artful Escape, I think I'd probably, of those ones, I'd say Psychonauts.
So from the Yoga Boys, we're locking in Psychonauts 2. There we go. Right?
I'm just trying to think, like, I might skip over a few of these just because.
Yeah, skip over. You know, we're chewing through some time here.
All right, how about best performance? Awarded to an individual for voice acting, motion and or performance capture. So Erica Mori, or Mori, I'm sorry if I'm getting your name wrong. Life is Strange. Giancarlo Esposito, who I believe is actually a fairly prominent actor. Far Cry 6. Jason E. Kelly, or... Well, I'm guessing it's Kelly. Deathloop. Maggie Robertson, Resident Evil Village.
I'm going to look that up. But was that the main chick, the big tall woman?
Yeah. Very okay, sexy mama.
Yeah.
And then Oziyama Agaka. I'm sorry.
That's tell you what, all of these entrants, I were very lucky that this wasn't from last year, because Hades, Meg... Best voice actor. Sexiest voice actor out there, Cap.
Yeah, I think like Hades would have taken out a lot of shit.
Yeah, the arts.
Well,
art
I wonder what it took out last year. Did it get... I can't remember what it got from the Game Awards.
I don't know.
Pretty sure it took out a few bits.
It was definitely in the finals for the Game of the Year. Mm.
Yeah. I think out of the... Have you played Resident Evil Village, Grizz?
No, I wanted to bring this up because this was actually a Christmas present from Mrs. Grizz, mate. This is going to be a strange
nice.
Game.
Yeah,
coming up.
It's pretty fucking good, dude.
Yeah,
and I think out of the ones here, I think as a winner, absolutely spot on. Mm-hmm. I think Maggie Robertson's performance as what's her name? Lady Demiskishu.
Okay. Yeah. I have seen lots of imagery and lots of bits and pieces on Twitter. But I'm looking forward to playing it big time.
Yeah.
Resident Evil kind of nailed that. I think they really nail... There you go. Thank you, Pav. Lady... I'm going to leave. I still can't pronounce that, Kat.
Yeah, give that one a crack, Grizzo.
Lady Demistrescu. Dang.
Yeah, something along those lines anyway. I don't know. Like, I mean, you obviously haven't seen the performance yet.
No, I have played most actually reasonably recently, probably in the last 8 to 9 months, I played through most of the recent Resident Evil games. And I feel like I was just saying, I feel like they really capture a particular feeling that is different for each game.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Where you nearly, I can't remember what the last one was, but where like you chop your hand off. And
yeah, I would say that Village still has that kind of feeling, because I think Resident Evil took a really big deviation from the standard kind
zombies,
of
right? Zombie apocalypse.
Well, yeah, exactly. And obviously Resident Evil, what's Evil Village? I think that might be number 8. So number 7, which was Biohazard, where you're going through the swamps and then you pop up at that house and then, you know, they're all corrupted by the virus.
Virus.
I think I loved that game, and I think I really enjoyed Village. I need to finish it still. Classic me. Start a game, get about halfway, and then go, I'm going to go and play something else.
Well, apparently it's quite short, Village, I hear. It's in terms of a Resident Evil game. That was one of the downsides. I could be completely wrong.
Maybe. I think I vaguely remember seeing something about this in that they maybe wanted you to play it a few times or something.
Okay. Yep.
And maybe that's why it's a bit shorter.
If that's the case, then I love playing the same content over and over again at different difficulties. It's a roguelite, baby. Let's go.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Well, yeah, I'm gonna lock that in. I think for both of us, on your behalf, mate, I think you're going to agree with me. Lady Demistrisiskasusi, I think she definitely won the cake for that one. Now, best ongoing game, Grizzo, awarded to a game for outstanding development of ongoing content that evolves the player experience over time. So they had Apex Legends, Call of Duty Warzone, Fortnite, Genshin Impact, and Final Fantasy 13. Is it? Oh no, 14. Sorry, online, which was the winner in this particular category.
They have had an absolute cracker of a year, and I think maybe some of it comes down to World of Warcraft kind of shitting the bed and a lot of people going across.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think and that, in my opinion, is not just because of the horrific stuff that's going on at that company, Blizzard. And if you're not aware of what's going on there, you absolutely need to go and, you know, knowledge bomb yourself on just how fucked that company is.
Maybe we do a bit of a section on this in a forthcoming podcast. If people would like to have the full breakdown.
Yeah, let us know in the comments. I don't know, is there comments in this podcast stuff? Can you do that?
At a quick glance, just go and check their share price and have a look and see what's happened in 2020, 2021.
Yeah, you can see the moment when their heart broke. But basically, I definitely think that World of Warcraft as an ongoing game, I just feel like they've done such a poor job at listening to their community and trying to cater to them. Obviously, it's got to be a balance, right, where you don't give the player base too much input because, I don't know, you know, you don't want them making all of the decisions because otherwise your game's going to be a giant steamy pile of shit and it's going to have no decent game design and direction. But you still need to give them a little bit of a carrot to try and ensure that they're, you know, there's meaningful experiences that they believe that they are, you know, accessing within your content, especially a game like this, right? Like an ongoing game.
So I think what happens, Cap, is, and I think it's a difference between a AAA studio and an indie developer, whereas they have all these metrics and all these things that they know makes the money, that are dollar productive, and that really is the focus and the goal. They know, they think they've got a thing that works, and that's what they push. So in terms of creativity, if you have a look at like some of the indie games that are coming out from two or three people teams, and they are individual new IPs that have all these brand new ideas and everything else. And then you've got things like FIFA that bring out a game, Just Dance, that bring out a new game every year that are literally just carbon copies of what they know works, and they bring it out and rebrand it. It's the same with WoW, it's the same with Warzone, all those kind of things that they're just kind of like churn out. They know that they can.
But those games are like the Australian idol of fucking, like, you know, AAA games, right? People just want to interact with that game. It doesn't change much. It's the same fucking thing every time. But some people just want that, which is fine. That's absolutely fine.
Well, by the way, I'm 100% not shitting on those brands because we don't want to be playing a 10-year-old Call of Duty and they're not bringing out a new one that we run on current gen consoles and everything else. And they are great games. Like
for the most part,
Call of Duty Warzone is a good shooter in my mind. I really enjoy the battle royale. I think it's done well.
Call of Duty and Vanguard, Fortnite, which was the more recent one, I think that had a few issues, Grizzler, but similar to Battlefield in that sense. But I think overall, like, obviously there is a place for those games. Clearly, they wouldn't make them otherwise, right? You know, our taste is obviously vastly different to, you know, the fairly mainstream stuff, which is, you know, and there's stuff for us as well, right? But where am I going with this? I don't really know. Anyways,
justifying why. that's a pretty good point. I guess we're kind of justifying. Well, there's no World of Warcraft on this list, and I was pointing out the weaknesses of having a AAA game studio that's money driven. I think in that aspect.
I actually wonder, is there any? I'm just sort of having a bit of a look through now. I don't think there's any Blizzard games in here.
No.
On these lists.
Well, put it this way. I feel like in 2021, there wasn't a release that was an ongoing game that wasn't a mass-produced one. And what I mean by that is there was no Dark Souls 4. There was no Diablo 4. There was no God of War 3. And I think if there had have been one of those that wasn't a annual release of content, an ongoing game, then maybe it might have been given some of these players like Apex and Call of Duty Warzone, Fortnite, Genshin Impact a bit of run for their money. I didn't know Genshin Impact was an ongoing game, by the way. Is it?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Genshin Impact definitely is. And, I mean, the interesting thing about Genshin Impact is that, I mean, well, actually, I think Fortnite, it definitely is as well. It's one of those, well, and, I mean, Call of Duty for that matter, is they're all games that happen on, like, an ecosystem of platforms, right? So also mobile as well. Like, Fortnite, and so is Genshin Impact. Genshin Impact, as far as I'm aware, it's kind of like an RPG-style thing where you go out and do bits and pieces and it has a bit of a storyline connected to it and you kind of follow that. And I think you could probably
hang out
with your friends.
Yeah.
I mean, this looks like a bit of an anime game.
Shout-outs to Fortnite, though, Cap, because I feel like that was – when that first came out and it got huge and Ninja was streaming it, I thought that would be a literal flash in the pan. I did not think that it would still be popular to this day and people playing it. They have continually – the way that they manage their battle passes – so I don't know if you know this, but if you buy a battle pass and you play the game, you will inherently unlock enough points to buy the next battle pass. So if you're encouraged to play the game to keep unlocking more content throughout the seasons. And I feel like they are consistently updating their game enough to make it interesting and playable throughout. There's always new stuff coming in, lots of new weapons. I play it on stream often. It's a really good fun game with friends, I think. And it's quite a good game.
Look, I think for me it definitely had its time and place, and it's definitely that's a long time ago. But I can definitely recognize the fact that they have turned it. I mean, it's interesting because listening. I don't know if you were aware, but Fortnite had that massive lawsuit against Apple because they didn't want Apple to be taking a cut of their in-app sales and stuff like that, and they wanted to use their own launcher on the Apple ecosystem so they could not do that, essentially. And there was a lot of interesting stuff that came out, mostly surrounding how you address and what kind of words you use to describe a game like Fortnite. And I can't exactly remember the exact words they used for Fortnite, but they basically don't consider it to be a game. They consider it to be like an experience.
Is this from Apple, is it?
No, this is from Epic Games.
Oh, right. Gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
Because, I mean, obviously, you know, being a lawsuit, you know, is like, it's all about like classification and you know, like people denying how, like, you know, bits and pieces, like, you know, oh, your game. No, it's not a game. It's a way of life. You know what I mean? Like, we should have to be able to do this. So I think the interesting thing about Fortnite is, I see where they're coming from in this sense.
I was about to ask you.
It has bridged a gap I think, in terms of it's become this platform. Obviously, the Battle Royale is there and it's pretty, you know, front of house. But, you know, even having like those concerts with the musicians and stuff, like who do they have? Like, what's her name?
Oh yeah, in the game. God. Yeah. They had that DJ with the hat and stuff on. It's pretty. Yeah, you're right. It is an experience. And the creative
Ariana
mode.
Grande was in there.
Yeah, and
I think she did something.
Marshmallows. That's it. Marshmallows.
I don't know who Marshmallows.
Who was the first one? And apparently, it was insane, man. They had, well, I mean, it's in game, but they had like in game fireworks and like everyone was in their own lobbies and like people were watching and like building up and watching, and it was
Which is pretty cool. Like, I mean, that's what I mean. Like, I think Fortnite does a pretty good job of expanding the, I don't know, the spectrum of what a game is, in my opinion anyway, especially an ongoing, like, sort of online game like this. But I don't know. I think of the list, Apex Legends, Call of Duty, Final Fantasy Online, Fortnite, Genshin Impact, absolutely Final Fantasy. And the reason for me is I just think they do such a good job of servicing their community.
Yeah.
And they actually appear to give a shit. And
which was a very fresh breath of air coming from some of the other things that came out in 2020, 2021 to do with other MMOs. And yeah,
I do wonder if that's, I wonder if it's magnified, obviously, by the, and I'm sure it is. I mean, let's be honest, it is, by the whole Blizzard stuff, because obviously it's like, you know, the good kid and the bad kid. And obviously you're going to give a lot of praise to the good kid because the other kid's gone and had a big turd on the carpet somewhere. You know, of course you're going to look at the good kid and go, well done, little Timmy. You know, like, obviously juxtaposition is pretty easy to make that that kind of, I don't know, that determination.
Cap, in the interest of time, do you reckon we wrap it up there with the Game Awards, mate? Or is there anything else that you wanted to touch on?
No, I'm just zipping through here. Okay, Grizzo, let me just wrap this one for you. So
wrap it up.
This is why I think Game Awards is a bit of shit. So we'll do this and then we'll do the Game of the Year. So best RPG. Guess what's in there?
I don't know, mate. Am I allowed to look or not?
No, you got to guess what's in there.
Best RPG.
There's five finalists.
Yeah,
I just want you to pick one of the many finalists that might be in there.
Oh my god, dude! RPGs in
there's one particular one that probably shouldn't be in there.
What, is it not an RPG?
No, it is an RPG, but it's, well, bit of a big turd. But look, I'm gonna cut you loose.
So
the finalists were Monster Hunter Rise, no worries. Scarlet Nexus, which I hear is actually pretty good. Shin Megami Tensei 5, which I've never played those games, but a lot of people seem to really enjoy those. Tales of Arise, which I hear is excellent. And our good old friend, Cyberpunk 2077.
Well, Cap, that game was 2020. Can we shit on Cyberpunk then? If they're allowed to fucking get best RPG.
Cyberpunk must have been from last year.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, well,
that's all right.
Do you know what it probably is? It's within the like time of, you know, September to September kind of thing, rather than like January to January. Regardless, you know, just like, I don't know how you can really give that much of a, you know, the game was a giant steaming pile of shit when on release. Like, how can you be like, nice job, guys?
Man, it was a big case of the No Man's Sky. It was a lot of hype and a lot of very effective media. And then when the game was released, it was a buggy mess of a game. It didn't achieve a whole heap to what other RPGs we had in the market were already.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people will sort of harp on about, you know, missing features that were promised and all that kind of stuff. I think, yeah, there was a little bit of that, but I don't think it was as bad as a lot of people say it was. I think ultimately people were just expecting, like, you know, like the most ultimate of all cyberpunk fantasy games. And if
people
were
building PCs for this game.
Yeah, I know.
If you're watching this and you built a PC for Cyberpunk, please let us know, because I have had a couple of mates that
I know guys that did
bought graphics cards for it.
Yep. Like, oh, yeah,
I know a guy who bought a brand new computer for it. He did. He did a dual SLI, Mad Dog PC, and everything. I mean, this game came out, and I don't think it ran very well even on that kind of thing. Because I don't know whether it was like an SLI problem or something, but yeah, regardless, it's just interesting to see. And this is why I think the Game Awards in general can just be a little bit shitty, because it's kind of like, are you a little bit tone deaf almost? Like, how did this game make it into the top five? Mm. Like, you might argue that it had good. I mean, I've got a copy of it. I haven't played it. But
have you not fired it up at all?
No. Yeah. I didn't bother. When I saw how shit it was reviewing, I just didn't bother. And I thought, I'll give it a couple of years and then I'll come back to it. But
yeah,
the more I hear about how the game kind of works in terms of like storyline wise and like just your interactions with, you know, the game in a greater sense, it just doesn't sound that appealing to me. And I don't know. I don't know what I expected personally, but
well, I feel like
obviously
in terms of
The Witcher 3, Christ.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I mean, I feel like in terms of waiting for the game to be good, a good example of that is No Man's Sky, because
absolutely,
if you go and have a look at the Steam reviews on that. So when that was first released, that was the worst rated game on Steam in the history. And now if you go and have a look over the last whatever it is, it is overwhelmingly positive. They've continued to make that the game that it was promised to be at the start. And maybe Cyberpunk might be the same. I won't behold my heart to say that, because I feel like they're probably not going to spend time developing that game any further than what it already is. It's not doesn't feel like
they probably already made their money off, and it's probably kind of like, I mean, purely from an economical sense, it doesn't really make an awful lot of sense, right?
Hmm.
I don't know.
Agreed.
But I mean, ultimately, on top of that, like, I'm surprised. You could almost argue, why is it No Man's Sky in that best ongoing games? Because, I mean, they don't even charge for their DLC. They just add it to the game, which is nuts. And a lot of this stuff that they're adding isn't stuff that they discussed. I mean, maybe this is them kind of making up for, you know, obviously they had I would probably say No Man's Sky was basically one of the most hyped games of all time.
Oh, huge. That and Destiny 2 before it was released. I remember there was a lot of hype around that, and it didn't quite receive as bad feedback as No Man's Sky did, because it did do some things right. It was a bit of a lack of content, but the hype on that was real as well. It was pretty up there.
But well, let's wrap it up with Game of the Year, Grizzo. So here's the contestants for the Game Awards: Deathloop, Metroid Dread, Psychonauts 2, Ratchet and Clank, A Rift Apart, Resident Evil Village, and It Takes Two.
Mm.
So, I don't know. In all honesty, I thought It Takes Two did an incredible job of bringing back the couch co-op, cooperative experience in a way that I probably did not expect at all. I just think this is one thing we kind of touched on with Breath of the Wild, with how game developers use their engines to create meaningful experiences within their games, right? So, like, obviously, Breath of the Wild, you can do all kinds of crazy shit. And, you know, you think about all the different little shrines you went to and how there was different interactions with all the
There's
different powers
and stuff.
There's
always a gimmick, wasn't there?
Yeah, exactly right. And you think, fuck, what are they going to think of next? I really think that It Takes Two did a really good job of blending different kind of zones in terms of thematic zones, you know, like snow zones and, you know, everything else, introducing a new power and having you use those in meaningful, interesting ways, especially for a fairly... You know, they're not quite an indie dev anymore. I'd probably argue that maybe they are, but because these are the guys that did, what was that, Breakout prison game where you played two people?
Yep.
I can't think of the name.
It was a very similar name to that, wasn't it? I can't remember.
in chat.
I just want to kind of
A Way Out.
Way Out. I just want to kind of add to that as well. Not only did they do an amazing job of the zones, but I feel like It Takes Two did a better job of game design in terms of mechanics across such a broad spectrum of genres.
Yeah.
So what I'm getting at here is there was that scene, without too many spoilers, but it was a 2D fighting scene where it was one guy this side, one guy this side, and you had power moves, and it was basically like a Mortal Kombat game. And then you've got another pit, which is extremely platform heavy, and they had all these different little things in there where someone has spent a lot of time. There was a top-down Diablo 3-esque dungeon crawler section as well. They really bridged the gap of having one like tied to one particular genre. They just, in terms of the style of game, and they probably did it better than what some of the games that were literally isometric in that particular genre. That really bridged the gap there.
It actually reminds me a little bit of how, I don't know, did you ever play Nier Automata?
No, but I saw some footage of it, and I think I saw you playing that. Didn't you finish, is that the one where you finished the game by catching the fish or something? Is that the one?
Maybe.
Are you the chick with the blindfold and you like jump around?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, is that an ending? I know there's different endings to that game. I've played through most of it. I haven't finished it. But it does a similar thing where like it changes the perspective of the game, not genre. I mean, that was the interesting thing about It Takes Two is you're playing like this kind of 3D platformer kind of thing with your mate, and then all of a sudden you're in a fighting game, and then all of a sudden you're in like this weird like, you know, go-kart shooter thing. And I think it did a really good job. Overall, like I thought it was pretty emotive and evoked kind of like an actual rapport with yourself and the characters. Like I really liked how their relationship kind of changed throughout the game. I definitely think out of that list it's definitely the winner for me.
Agreed, mate.
I don't think anything really made me go, holy shit. Like, especially that fighting bit in
dude, that was so cool. One person so cool. driving. Yeah, it's so yeah. good. They did it's very so well. Cool.
Yeah, brilliant. God, what a fucking game. And I mean, I don't know if you've seen the French guy who's like the game director for that game and A Way Out, but he basically, like, I don't know whether he's drunk, and I mean, if he is, what a fucking legend, but whenever he gets on to the Game Awards, he just gets up and starts swearing and says, like, fuck the Oscars. And like,
I didn't say that, but that's
good. You can watch it. It's hilarious. Yeah. He is so funny. But yeah, I mean, ultimately, I think, that's definitely my game of the year.
I agree with you. So, Cap, we are getting the hurry up from Pav. We've already shot over our time. But one thing that I want to talk about before we go is what was your personal games of the year? They don't have to be 2021, but maybe list off five games and why you enjoyed playing those this year.
Well, I think it was a game that was sort of, it's actually technically from last year, but I began replaying it again this year just because I found time to do so. But Disco Elysium, if you haven't played that game, dude, holy fuck.
I haven't touched that yet. Is it on Switch?
Unbelievable game. Yeah. It's pretty dialogue heavy, but it's now fully voice acted, like the whole lot.
You know what I'm like with dialogue, Cap? Yep.
Well, but it's a highly impressive world building exercise. It's basically like this game you can see they loved D&D, and you play this like amnesiac cop who's super into disco music, and it takes place on this like archipelago in this sort of earth-like, place. After revolutions happened, kind of, it's almost like the late 60s, 70s has happened. It's not actually set on Earth, but it's kind of like a French archipelago, and then you have all these weird like races of people that interact with one another, and it's just super fucking interesting. And the main character has like all these bits of his psyche interacting with him, so like all the just trying to think of a couple of the things, like, you know, his inner cop is like sort of chatting to him in between like dialogue options. And it's just, I'll tell you what, man, it is very impressively written. Very, very good game.
In terms of the difference, I'm assuming that Disco Elysium is an indie game, Cap?
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, so the difference of a AAA game, say, in this, so from what I have seen, not a lot, but it almost looks like a top-down from the original Fallout games. It's quite a top-down RPG. There's no combat, really.
I've encountered.
Yeah, cool.
So a lot of it is like, it's kind of like you interact with people and you have like morale victories in conversation. So someone might say something to you and then like you kind of take it to heart a little bit, so you lose morale, and then you have to like, you know, the cop is like a massive druggie as well, so you're like popping pills to try and bring your morale back up here and there, and
yeah, nice.
it's very interesting. Yeah. But I really enjoyed that. So if you need a, well, maybe give it a crack. See, I know you don't really like dialogue heavy stuff, but I did play Loop Hero this year as well. That's a very, very fun little game. I stopped playing it. It's interesting. I've noticed that my gaming tastes has kind of, not tastes, but just the way I like to play games these days has changed dramatically over last year since I've sort of become a bit more, well, full-time with my work and stuff. I way prefer to play stuff on my Switch these days and kind of just chill out on the bed or on the couch or whatever. And so I stopped playing a lot of games on my PC because I just simply can't be fucked sitting at my computer.
Yeah, I agree with you, man. Yeah, I'm spending a lot of time on public transport at the moment, and Slay the Spire is a godsend, or roguelites in general on the Switch are like, it's my jam. Love it. Play it whenever you want.
So, dude, honestly, I think you should give Loop Hero a crack. It's not super heavy on, so there's no actual combat either in this game, but it's kind of like you're going around the
stream
track.
It, mate. I'm pretty sure.
Oh, you probably did. Yeah, I think that was one of the last things I streamed before I kind of went on hiatus. but yeah, that's a ripper game. Now another indie. I mean, I'm pretty much just smashing the indie games at the moment. But Death's Door. Wow. That's a fucking ripper as well. So you play this little crow who is a reaper, right? And he exists in this weird in-between world that's made up of these office apartment kind of complexes where all these little crows fill out paperwork and have to go through these special doors to go and reap souls, and then they bring the souls back and then do the paperwork and file in the soul and stuff. So you play this little crow, he runs in to go and reap this soul, and then something goes wrong, and then you go down this huge adventure where you're going to go and reap all these big souls.
Give me a brief description of the art style. What does it look like?
Low poly, kind of bloomy, fairly grim on the color spectrum. It's pretty cool, actually. You can definitely tell it's an indie game, rough around the edges here and there. But I mean, it's highly, highly serviceable in terms of the art style. But I think in terms of the actual gameplay, if you can kind of think like, so it's a top down kind of similar to like Hades and stuff like that, that isometric kind of viewpoint. It does a really good job with so it kind of blends like Legend of Zelda kind of puzzling stuff with the combat of something like Hades, but also kind of Dark Souls-y as well with the delivery of story and, you know, there's some item descriptions here and there. Now, not super heavy on that stuff in terms of lore, but it's definitely kind of a blend of all these different games together. And I've really loved that. The boss fights are really fucking fun. It has that kind of, you know, the classic Dark Souls, like you got to kind of figure out the pattern of the boss and then you kind of use that to your advantage and you might die a couple of times. But one thing I really like, and this, again, goes back to The Legend of Zelda, is the way that they use their engine to create interesting puzzles and stuff that aren't just a walkthrough. I mean, sometimes they are, but they're really satisfying. Like when you finish the puzzle, even if you knew the outcome from as soon as you walked into the room or the area, like you go and you shoot all the arrows and kill the things.
Yeah,
absolutely. And it's just a really fucking satisfying game. So yeah, that's another ripper. But my final game that I will bring to your attention and
give it to
absolutely
me,
have to play it is Inscription, and I believe it might have won PC Games Game of the Year. Incredible game, absolutely fucking.
When was this released? Because you were telling me about this yesterday. When was the release?
This year. It was this year. So it was
that
fairly
completely fallen off my radar. 19th of October from Pav. There you go.
Yeah, there you go. 19th of October. So Inscription is okay, so I'm going to rip this straight off the blurb I'm reading off Google, but it's a horror deck building video game.
I love deck builders, man. So good.
It leans into the roguelite category as well. So you kind of do these runs and you're sort of going across this little board. You're building your deck per life. And you're basically fighting against this weird dude in the shadows that puts these masks on. And honestly, it's like nothing I've ever fucking played before. But it's also got like this small overworld where you're in this room as you're fighting this guy with this weird card game, and you go and do these little weird bits and pieces with the interactable things in the room. And as you do, you kind of unlock different things that you can do with the cards, or different like bits and pieces that you can use to interact with the cards on the deck. And it's like storyline wise, very cool as well. The way that you kind of trying to figure out what's going on. I don't want to say too much because it's just so fucking good. But even the card game
I got a Steam voucher for Christmas, Cap, so that is definitely one that I'll be picking up.
I think you'd enjoy streaming it, honestly, Grizz, because it's not kind of Slay. Well, I don't know for sure, but it doesn't feel like Slay the Spire in the sense that, you know, I don't know how much replayability it's going to have, because it kind of feels like it leverages heavily off the storyline. But it's
interesting.
Very good.
Interesting tidbit from Pav once again is the same publisher as Fall Guys. That is crazy.
Oh,
considering how different. So, wait.
Oh, yeah, Devolver Digital. Yeah, so they do all kinds of indie stuff.
You know what? Devolver are amazing as a developer, especially in terms of the way that they market their games. I mean, fair enough, I haven't heard about this one, but the way that they marketed Fall Guys was pretty, pretty huge. They targeted the stream community, and they smashed that very well.
I think they're very smart. I mean, even like before E3 kind of shit the bed, like they were doing their own kind of sessions, you know, up amongst the big boys like, you know, Sony and Microsoft and stuff like that. Like, actually Sly's saying the Inscription was the same as the guy who did Pony Island, and that's a very fucking good game as well.
Okay.
I haven't played that for a very long time, but it's got a similar kind of... Pony Island kind of took place in this weird arcade game, and then you're kind of like there's like a devil inside the arcade game from memory, and you're kind of fighting against this guy, this devil. But it like has like this, the art style is reminiscent of that. It's not quite the same because Inscription takes part in like a 3D land, whereas I think from memory, I'm pretty sure Pony Island didn't, but I might be wrong. But really, really cool art direction as well. That game should have been in there. Well, maybe it didn't make the cut because it was in October, perhaps.
Maybe it didn't make the cut, yep.
But what about you, Grizzo? You hit me with
all right, mate. Well, I'm going to start from the back and work my way forward to my favourite releases this year. Some of these are definitely not 2021 releases, but that's okay. Firstly, I'll start with an honourable mention to Diablo 2 Remastered. I know that it is a remaster, but I thought that the way... graphically and the way that they made it look was very well representative to the original game, which I hold very close to my heart. It actually probably got me into RPGs. Diablo 1, Diablo 2 were the original games that I really sunk hours into as a young
I know grizzly. A lot of people who say that's their gateway drug to those kinds of games, you know what I mean?
So I have something now that I just really love the idea of finding loot and building your character and the challenge and everything else that comes with it. I feel like in terms of a remaster, the Diablo 2 remaster was pretty well done. So that's an honorable mention. Not in my list though. But the first one I want to talk about is Binding of Isaac. So, old game. So literally it was a flash game in the browser for the original. So they bought out some DLC in 2021.
Was it actually a flash game to begin with?
It was a flash game. You can still play the flash game, I believe. You can still play it on the browser,
Holy
the original.
Shit.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
That I was not aware of. Very cool.
Yeah, old school, mate, old school. I recently only just got into it. I am a lover of, you'll see that there is a bit of a theme in my top five games. I am a lover of roguelites. So the satisfaction for me is... a lot of the roguelites are really input heavy and difficult, and I like the feeling of progression. Sometimes you have no progression and you start and it's like, oh, damn, next time I'll try to do better, and you kind of learn your way through the game.
Get a different card, get a different power,
and you kind of work your way through. And I feel like there's quite a bit of strategy in those games as well. So,
well, you have those one run, that one run where you feel you're just like, oh
overpowered,
this is ridiculous.
Yeah, that's exactly how you feel in Binding of Isaac. And you know what? I didn't even get to a lot of the new content. I got probably maybe, there is. I don't know if you know this, but there it is. Thousands of hours in that game. Like the
there's people who literally dedicate their streams and stuff to just that game, and they only play that.
It is huge. So that is one game that, for me, the DLC poked me this year to play it, and it was quite a big DLC. Lots of new items, some new areas and other bits and pieces, and I really enjoyed playing that. The second one, which was a 2020 release, was Hades. And so this is my number two for the year of games that I enjoyed. I felt the art style, the dialogue, the combat, the roguelike nature, it really pulled it all together for me. And the best thing about it, in my opinion, was the way that they scaled difficulty. So once you complete the game, without too many spoilers, there's a way that you can apply heat to your runs and you can make them harder. A lot of games these days will just bump damage and health of the enemies, and that's the way they deal with difficulty. And it's a, like, in my personal opinion, it's a bit of a slack way to deal with difficulty. Hades does it right. So they have all of these little things you can tick on and off. The bosses get extra moves and all these really cool things. The traps.
See, I like that. I like that a lot.
Yeah, it is very.
I agree with you. I think difficulty in games can be incredibly lazy. Like you said, it's literally just push the numbers up, or they can do things like, you know, you think about, you know, for example, some of the World of Warcraft stuff, where, you know, you do like a mythic run of a boss and the bosses get different move sets. Obviously some of the numbers go up because naturally they're going to. But I think when you introduce new move sets, or it kind of just shows that you are acknowledging that there's more to your game and that you are introducing more mechanics, which is much more interesting than just having to belt your head against something for longer.
Yeah. Agreed. And that is that was probably the reason why I really enjoyed that game, because I finished it and I thought, you know, I finished it with every weapon essentially was the first, and I was like, okay, what else is there to do? And there is so many dialogue options to unlock. There's so many unlockables in that game. Just a really well-designed game. Enjoyed it. So that was Hades. My number one for the year was Returnal.
There's a bit of a theme here.
Yep. Roguelites.
Yeah, literally.
And I don't want to harp on about it too much, but I actually really enjoyed the art style and the feeling. I actually listened to the OST at work. If you want a really chilled, creepy, for some reason, I actually quite like, so the Stranger Things soundtrack, I listened to that at work, not the songs with the original soundtrack. Just like creepy ambient music, they really nailed the feeling. And for me, it brought me right back to my first ever M-rated movie that I watched, which was Alien Sigourney Weaver. It really brought me into that universe and made
what
me feel
movie.
Like, yeah, really good movie. But yeah, I feel like the game captured the atmosphere, and it did, in terms of PS5 releases, the audio in Returnal is amazing. Play with the audio through your controller. You can hear the raindrops. You can hear the enemies. The audio design is amazing in it. The music, the boss music is great. It's very difficult, so I enjoyed that part as well. And the feeling of, like I was talking about before with Binding of Isaac, but when you get a good run and you have the right weapons and you've got the right artifacts and you're chewing through the bosses, it's just a really makes you feel, it's just an empowering game for sure. And the storyline was good as well.
Yeah, I think it a lot of people, and again, this comes down to sort of like game journalism and are the right people reviewing the right games. But I know Returnal copped a lot of flack because they're like, oh, you know, when I die, I go all the way to the back to the start. It's like, that's what this game is. Like, you know,
so to me, that's a case of the first AAA producer bringing out a roguelite and people not really understanding how, but, you know, they didn't really hold your hand either, Kat. They didn't spell out that maybe some of the things you're unlocking were going to unlock it for the subsequent runs. And sometimes you would feel like you were literally just in Groundhog Day grinding it along. I can kind of understand where people came from, but
It's, I don't know. Like, I also appreciate games that don't just give me everything on a silver platter and make me have to, like, and that's probably something that Inscription does really well. Well, yeah. I mean, absolutely. But Inscription has these moments in the game where you're like, what the fuck is this thing? Or like, what the hell's, what, why is this here? Or what, how does that work? Or, you know, I just think games that don't hold hands are great, because it's not that I think it's insulting people's intelligence, but it, you know, it's just like some of the tutorials are just like mind numbingly boring. And so when you don't have that, and
have a wall of text for each Nintendo games in a nutshell, baby, like that's what
and
it is.
You know, when you've played them and you know how fucking abysmally boring they are, and it makes your first moments with a game really, I don't know, just grindy and shit. But I think games like Returnal, obviously, where they don't hold your hand, you kind of just go in, you're just sort of, you know, dipping your toes in the water and you know, kind of trying to find the boundaries of what you can and can't do. I really like that. I mean, you know, there's machines in that game where you don't really know what you've just done. You're like, I've just pressed a button. What did it do?
Yeah.
You know, like it's cool. I like that. And then the subsequent runs, you go, there it is. That's what that did. Okay. That makes a lot of sense. And then you use it in your next run, you know, and I think that it feels more organic to me rather than just having a developer note in the game that kind of draws you out of the game to tell you, oh, by the way, you should press the X button to do this. You know, like that, it just seems more organic, and it's just more atmospheric. And yeah, I don't know. That's how I feel about it anyway.
So we are well and truly over time. Looks like it's going to be more like an hour and a half. But there was one thing on our list that I really wanted to talk about, and that was what we're looking forward to in 2022.
Absolutely.
And maybe that's our final point for the first episode.
Yeah, I think we'll end with this bad boy. But I mean, if you want to begin, Grizz, what about you, man? What
start?
Are you?
Yeah, sure, mate.
For? I bet I can guess one thing.
oh, what's in there? Actually, well, yeah, you can guess. Me and you are going to have the same. But I have a list of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I've got 7 on my list. In no particular order. God of War, Ragnarok. Actually, there's one here that you might not know about yet, Cap. Salt and Sacrifice comes out next year.
So that's the next game after Salt and Sanctuary, right?
Yes.
It looks like it has like a more... Because Salt and Sanctuary had a co-op kind of experience, but this one seems like it's going to be a bit more heavily entrenched, if that makes sense.
Yes. And
it does look cool. It's still holding to that kind of art style that kind of looks like someone's just scribbled in their notebook and, you know, in exactly year 12, you know what I mean? Like, that's kind of what it looks like, which they're still holding true to that. So it looks cool, though.
So those of you that don't know, it is almost like a 2D side-scroller Dark Souls kind of game. Brutally difficult, but the number 2 comes out. The first one was relatively popular in amongst certain circles, mainly those that play Dark Souls, but it was quite good. So anyway, that's one thing I'm looking forward to. Warhammer 40K Darktide, which is the new... What's it called, Cap? What's that game that we played? Vermintide. It is the 40K version of Vermintide. I'm really excited for that.
Yeah, this is the one that's kind of guns and stuff?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
It's the 40K version of Vermintide. I loved Vermintide, man. I say this to this day. I don't know why I stopped playing that game, because I just enjoy it. It just, there's something that doesn't quite grab me, but it's a good game, nevertheless. I'm looking forward to that.
Is it, do you know if it's the same developers, Fat Shark, whatever they're called?
Actually, don't know. I haven't looked into it. I think.
If it is, hell yeah! Sign me the frick up. I'm so keen. So. Love those games.
Breath of the Wild 2. We've talked about that. I'll leave it there. Silk Song. I've talked about that.
Yeah.
Which is, sorry for those of you that know, Hollow Knight, the new Hollow Knight sequel, will come out next year.
And Hollow Knight is made by an Australian developer in Adelaide. I'm not too sure if they're still located in Adelaide, but that's where the original Hollow Knight came from. Team Cherry.
That's it. Yep.
Yeah.
Horizon Forbidden West. I just want to spend a little bit of time talking about this because I had a look at the release trailer today for the first time. I'm a massive fan of any game that has good water graphics, particularly underwater graphics. And my God,
aren't you a marine scientist?
You got me, mate. So that that Assassin's Creed Black Flag did very good with their their boats and Caribbean kind of feel. But this game looks beautiful, and I'm really, really excited to play it. The first one played amazingly. It's a PS4 exclusive.
Have you played that?
Right. I touched it. I didn't finish it, but it was great.
I've actually been playing through it with the intention to just get through the main storyline and kind of crack through it before Forbidden West comes out. Because so one thing with this game, and it's definitely a game I'm looking forward to, by the way, as well. I find the first game to be very, very good, but I think the combat feels a little bit clunky in the sense that you kind of almost feel like, you know, whenever you tackle a big bunch of machines or whatever else, it's not until super late you don't feel like you've had any hero moments. You kind of feel like you've just kind of fell over yourself a bunch of times, accidentally got through the encounters, and I'm only playing on normal, and, you know, I'm not going to toot my own horn and say I'm the fucking greatest gamer that's ever lived, but
you're a better gamer than me. We can say that. You're a faster learner at games than me. It takes me a long time to get decent at a game, mate. So,
regardless, I don't know. The combat feels a little bit clunky. So, if they can address that in the new game and make it feel a little bit more fluid, maybe a little bit more forgiving, even in some circumstances, I think it's going to be a cracker.
Is this a PS5 exclusive, Cap? Do you know?
It will be for the beginning, I would assume.
One thing that I really hope they do, and the way that Returnal does, is sound design. I hope they nail the sound design. But secondly, the haptic feedback. So the triggers, how they pressure. I hope that they really go to town on that and use the technology to its advantage.
Do you know what's interesting? It's like there's always like every time a new console comes out, everyone cranks on about how like the controller can do this crazy thing. And I mean, like the PS5 absolutely can. Like I don't know if you've done that little Astro World. No, that's not what I'm thinking of. That's something completely different.
The little creatures and you jump around.
Yeah,
and
the little and like they did all kinds of cool shit with the trigger. But like I remember when the Switch first released and there was like the guy and he's like shaking the thing. He's like, it feels like there's ice blocks in my controller. And he's like trying to figure out how many ice blocks he's got in the controller. That was like one of the, there was like a party game that came out with, it was called like 1-2 Switch or something like that. And that was like one of the games where you shake the controller and you like the feedback kind of gives you an idea of how many it was just random. Anyways, completely off topic, but very, very cool game. But anyway, so going back to Forbidden
West. All
right,
you keep going Forbidden West. Yep.
Okay. No, all I was going to say basically is that I've been slowly making my way through it, and I think if they can address those combat issues, just in the sense that it feels very clunky sometimes and I don't know. I do really like it because it's kind of there seems to be a fit. It kind of almost has that Witcher thing going on where you kind of go, all right, I can see that big fucking machine over there. I'm going to lay a few traps over here. I'm going to drink this potion. I'm going to go and do that. And then I'm going to try and lure it in and do that stuff.
Yeah. The planning and the individuality to each combat I quite liked. But you're right. It was a little bit clunky in execution, I felt. Yeah.
Even like when you're running around with your spear and you're using your spear, I feel like that feels really a little bit slow and cumbersome, and you kind of feel like you're stuck in these big sweeping animations and you're like, well, I'm kind of stuck doing this for the next 2-3 seconds whilst these machines are coming for my ass, you know, to smack me. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they go. I would assume with now that they have that base game done, I mean, I can only imagine how cool this next one's going to be.
All right,
I imagine the graphics are going to be nuts as well, by the way.
Oh, it looks amazing. Without further ado, what do you think my number one most anticipated game is, mate?
Let me think. Well, I mean, if it's anything like me, I mean, I've been frothing at the bit for more From Software, so I mean, it's got to be Elden Ring, surely. I've been trying to keep away from like the closed network test to see what like I've tried not to spoil too much for myself. But the little things that I have seen,
Yeah, dude. And what gets me actually excited about it is the bits that I have seen look very From Soft in terms of the combat mechanics, which, as a From Soft lover from literally anything they've released in terms of the Souls universe and beyond, Sekiro. That gets me excited. Yeah.
Yeah, looks absolutely. Good. I think it looks like it's going to be really... I'm very interested to see how they blend the open world in with, you know, the standard kind of Dark Souls thing. It kind of almost seems like, from what I understand, that they're kind of doing like a Legend of Zelda approach where they have kind of the open world kind of stuff, and then you have some dungeons, and those dungeons have obviously big Dark Souls bosses in them, and you do bits and pieces. So it'll be interesting to see how they blend the two, and I'm guessing you probably... it's always interesting to see how developers learn from their games, especially a developer like FromSoft that have now done quite a few different games. I mean, obviously they've all kind of been in their own kind of Soulsborne combat style, but I mean, if you compare something like Sekiro to Bloodborne and Dark Souls, obviously that was quite a big deviation for them, you know, one character with, you know, these tools and stuff. So it'll be interesting to see if they kind of drag that into Elden Ring and where that kind of you know, how deep they go with that kind of, I don't know, that almost kind of feels like a bit Legend of Zelda-y to me, where they and Metroidvania kind of stuff, where you get these new items that help you navigate the world or give you access to other locations or, you know, help you, you know, defeat bosses in a different way or stuff like that. So it's going to be interesting to see how and if that takes any place within that game. Obviously, I'm sure there'll be some kind of degree of it, but just it'll be interesting to see what they've learnt from their earlier iterations. Mm. Yeah. But,
all right, Cap, give me yours, mate. Give me yours.
Well, obviously, pretty much all the ones that you brought up. Very, very excited for Legend of Zelda, Breath of the Wild 2, Elden Ring, God of War, Ragnarok. I mean, it's interesting because that series is supposed to be a trilogy, but it looks like they're going to cut it off at Ragnarok.
Is that the last one, is it? I wonder, so have we seen any
stuff?
Have we seen any clips of it yet? I've seen
a little bit, yeah. And you probably have seen what's available, I'd say.
Has the boy grown up?
It sort of, yeah. I mean, he's definitely aged. He's still like a boy. The boy.
The boy, you know? Yep.
The boy.
Come on, son.
yeah, so I don't know. It looks like they've basically... they're almost doing what Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild 2 is doing, where it's like, all right, just do it in the same place, but we'll make it a different season and we'll just change some of the locations of shit so we can get it out.
Horizon Zero Dawn seems the fucking same as that, mate, I reckon.
Well, actually, I think Horizon, based on what it seems like it's a bit more tropical. Yeah. Whereas Horizon Zero Dawn looked like definitely. It took place in Utah or something. I don't know.
In the desert, mate.
Mm. Yeah, but it'll be, again, that'll be interesting. So, yeah, definitely similar games to you. One game I'm really looking forward to caught a little bit of fire recently was the Stalker 2, the next Stalker game, Heart of Chernobyl.
So I believe they want to put NFTs,
NFTs in their game. Everyone cracked the shits majorly, which absolutely.
I don't know if you have seen this, Cap, but they have now gone back on that. They're no longer putting NFTs in the game.
I didn't see that. Yeah. So, I mean, obviously when you have, you know, backlash as big as that, I'm sure that's probably going to be the right choice. But, yeah, I played the Stalker games heaps as a kid, and I thought, like, just the atmosphere that those games generated, like the whole going into the zone and, you know, there's these weird artifacts that, you know, have these weird powers that you go and flog to these rando guys hanging around at these little outposts in the middle of, you know, like Soviet, you know, Russia or whatever. It was fucking awesome. So if
they're
they
pretty good at it.
Absolutely. Those games are so sick. Loved them. And they have like all these weird beasts that obviously mutated from this, that, and everything else. But if they can kind of evoke that same similar kind of thing, oh man, just fucking give it to me straight in there.
Our February looks nuts for game releases. Yeah. If everything sticks to track.
I've taken a day off work for Elden Ring.
Have you? Yeah. Dude, honestly, I don't know. Like, I'm going to have to prioritize the games that I play and figure it out. I mean, I'm very excited. I feel like this is the 2021 kicking our ass and going shit and having to push all these games back due to COVID screwing us over a bit, and we're going to get a bunch of great releases all at once. But
It will be interesting to see how many of them get delayed, but I mean, at this stage, seems like we're pretty gravy. Just a couple of closing ones for me, ones that maybe I'm not as excited for, but you know, I'm still pretty keen for. And maybe one game I'm kind of interested to see what you think about as well, Grizz, is Bethesda's new game Starfield coming out.
Yeah,
not to I've be heard bits confused and pieces. With Garfield.
Oh. Okay, so I'll keep this really short, but I have zero faith in Bethesda. I think it's been a long time since they've released a game that is good out of the box. They rely on people modding it or providing them with feedback to make their games decent. So maybe 5 years down the track, it's okay.
Do you know what? Hot take. I think Skyrim was fucking average. Really do. I really think Skyrim was fucking average. When you compare it to the games that came before it, they really handheld you.
Can I potentially rephrase it a bit? Unmodded Skyrim is garbage.
Yeah.
Modded Skyrim, with all of the shit that people have made and all the graphics engines and all the extra storylines and all the extra characters and the sexy anime babes, is a good game.
Yeah, okay. I don't know. I don't know
where you're coming from. Morrowind was your jam, wasn't it?
Oh, dude, Morrowind was the shit. And you didn't even need to mod that game. It was just, you know, you enter the game and you walk down the road from, you know, where you start the game and some bloke falls out of the sky and just smacks on the ground in front of you. It's the best thing ever. Like, it's just, it's such a good game. And I would, do you know what, Bethesda? Keep making your games, but please do a fucking Morrowind actual remake. You know, rather
I remember
than having,
you used to be able to like just keep tapping your space bar and jumping and get your agility to 100 and then you can jump up on roofs and like
classic game. So good. So yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of going back to Starfield, I am not really, dude, I actually thought Fallout 4 was really fucking boring.
Like, I agree.
Insanely boring. It was good for about an hour or two and then it just, I don't know, it's just very samey and I don't know. As a big Fallout fan, I did not enjoy it.
I already know your take on this, mate, but Fallout 76 to me was what do we need right now? Let's make it. Oh, let's build a battle royale into this already shit game and try to make it sell.
But I think that's Bethesda just trying to toe the line with making money, really. You know what I mean? Like, and that's another problem with, actually, I tried to give Fallout 76 a crack recently because I heard a lot of good things. And there's a sound bug that just they haven't fixed and a lot of people are suffering from it. Like I'm talking 20% of the people that play the game just have this crucial sound bug where no sound comes out of the fucking game.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's just, anyways.
They're relying on someone to mod that to fix it.
Yeah, no shit. And there's no mod support from that game, so good luck to them.
I think that's Star Citizen, mate. I won't be pre-ordering that one, that's for sure.
No, I don't think so either. I'll wait and see. I'm actually interested. I used to play a lot of Pokemon as a kid, but Pokemon, is it Arceus or Arceus? I hope it's not Arceus because that's a bit rude.
Ever.
A bit naughty.
Ever?
Sorry?
Pav's given you some direction. Either? Pokemon either?
Either. Oh, either way. Right.
Oh.
I thought Pav meant Pokemon. It's called Pokemon Legends either.
That's what I thought he was saying as well. Jeez, Pav.
Well, it looks pretty cool. It looks like an open world Pokemon game, like a true open world one, which I'm pretty keen on. So I don't know. I think you've been playing a little bit of Pokemon recently, you might be interested.
I love Pokemon. It kind of tickles me in a way that I didn't think it would, and that's because I didn't know about some very minor mechanics in the game, mainly the shinies. The chance to find a really rare shiny Pokemon is kind of what.
Yeah.
That's the kicker for me in terms of those. And as a kid, I didn't know that existed. I would hate to think of how many shinies I caught and just like ended up trashing them, not knowing.
Yeah. So, absolutely. Well, one final one for me is Dying Light 2. Did you play Dying Light 1?
Didn't touch it.
Good game. Like a weird parkour zombie game.
I love parkour.
Yeah, it's very interesting. A lot of like, you know, using elevation and stuff and running through hordes of zombies and doing missions and drop-offs and you're kind of doing some parkour cool shit. Dying Light 2 looks pretty cool as well. But yeah, ultimately, guys, I think that's pretty much our first episode. So, I think we kind of went a little bit over, but I don't know. I think a minute, an hour 30 kind of seems like a pretty decent amount of time. So I don't know. Maybe we'll be aiming.
Did we go well overboard, mate, or was that decent? Was that all right?
I think it was always kind of a thing where we're kind of just going to play it by ear and just see how we go. I mean, you know, I know podcasts that go for 3 hours. I don't know how, you know, people feel about length of podcasts, but hey,
however you
interact, yeah, let us know what you think a decent podcast length is.
That's a good point.
Pav was talking there. Go, Pav.
No, I think that was perfect. Our half. Guys got all the content. Cool. I think it was set well.
Yeah,
we even had
more shit to talk about if we wanted to.
So just
classic.
Just quietly, the old reminder here. One thing you do. We're obviously, this is a brand new podcast. This is the first episode that is shipped. Yo, Pav's on the screen.
It
would mean the world to us if you could pretty please do all the things that you know what I'm going to say. Like, subscribe, share, do anything you can to help us be more discoverable. It'll mean the world. We are all very passionate about this podcast and we really appreciate you guys coming out, spending time with us.
Absolutely. I think over time, like, the quality's kind of going to grow as we kind of learn to create content in this new kind of form. I mean, myself and Grizz have never really done anything like this before, so kind of learning how to, I don't know, I guess riff off one another is, you know, not difficult because we already do that, but obviously turning that into a content creation is going to be another kettle of fish. But I mean, I've thoroughly enjoyed today, Grizzo. So, as Grizz said, make sure you like, comment, subscribe, you know, share this with your mates if you think they might be interested in some gaming, you know, podcasting stuff. Normally, I think we're going to be aiming for some more news and happenings, but obviously this first episode being at the end of the year, we kind of thought we'd do a bit of a wrap-up episode.
And some big old hot takes, Cap, getting into those controversial really numbers, mate.
Dropping some big bangers.
Yeah, fuck you, Blizzard. Hey, Cap.
Yeah, exactly right. just quickly, that was an interesting thing in the Game Awards because Jeff Keighley opened up saying, you know, we believe that, you know, no one should feel bad, you know, terrible at work and all that kind of stuff. But they obviously didn't name anyone. I would just love to see some people name and shame people in that. Having that much power to and ability to say stuff. Obviously, they're not going to because they're worried about their product, you know, the Game Awards and all that kind of stuff. They're not going to be like, you know what, Blizzard, fuck you. They're not going to say that. I get that. But, God, I just wish they did it. Anyways, we'll leave that one.
Peace out.
Rizzo.
Roll the outro music, Pav. Yeah, you too.
Yeah, roll that.
Good fun.
Roll it.
Okay,
get me out of here.
Oh, here it is.
Lady and legends.
Appreciate you. We'll see you next time, whenever that is. Probably in a week or so.
Week sounds good. Dude, is my mic still live?
Yes, it is.
Oh, dang.
Yeah, you're live, baby.
I'm busting for a wee, eh? Holy shit, man.
No, wee.
All right, that's it. Thanks for being here. Make sure you follow us.
Appreciate you guys. Thanks for hanging out.
Make sure you follow us on Twitter. That's where we're going to find all of the up-to-date information on what's happening next. So be there. We'll see you soon. Take it easy. Good night.
Take it easy, fam.
Peace.